Good morning, everyone. There's a story of a young man who was proposing to his girlfriend and said, "Sweetheart, I love you so much. I really want you to marry me. I don't have the money of Johnny Green. I don't have the Porsche like Joe Martin. I don't have a yacht like Ralph Turner. I don't have a house the size of Al Smith. I don't even have the looks of Al. But I love you with all of my heart." She looked at him and looked into his eyes and said, "I love you too, sweetheart. But can you tell me more about Joe Martin?" Sometimes we have to look deep within ourselves to know the motives of the heart, to really know what is going on. Of course, Friday, as you all know, was Valentine's Day. And if you went to the grocery store on Thursday or Friday, people, mostly guys, I guess, going through all the flowers, candy, and cards to find the right flowers, the favorite chocolates, and the perfect card. This year, as I do sometimes, I made up my own card for Debbie. And the front reads like this: "Our love was a call made from heaven." And you open it up and it says, "May we never get disconnected." You're supposed to go, "Aww." But the point is, whether our affection on Valentine's Day is funny, serious, or just friendly, we are expressing affections of the heart. And that is what I want to talk about today. What does it mean when we talk about our heart? What is the heart? Of course, the first thing we think of is the human heart, that is, the physical heart, that which keeps us alive and keeps life's blood pumping through our bodies. But there is another heart, I would argue, that is the most important part of the human makeup. Sometimes heart and soul are used interchangeably, but it's not really in most scriptural references. The spiritual heart is typically referred to as the center of our being. It is where emotions are born. It is where feelings and passion come from. Sometimes individuals will go to great lengths to hide what is truly in their heart. The heart reflects who we truly are and what drives us. Jesus said, "From the heart, the mouth speaks." And this past Wednesday at our healing service, we looked at that scripture where Jesus was talking about all the things that can come, the evil things that can come from the heart. It is also the place that we are tempted the most. When Eve was tempted to eat the fruit, there is a prompting to gain something at the root, which was greed, the desire to be like God in her heart. And then Adam fell into the same trap. So within each of us comes this battle for the heart. If you look through the book of Psalms, there are some 145 plus references to the heart. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. But David also knew this is where some of his toughest battles took place. This is where he struggled as well. He didn't like some of what he saw or did, but he had this burning desire to be right with God. That meant that his heart needed to be in tune, or connected with God's heart. And for that to happen, it took something that we can hear from David's plea in Psalm 51. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He wanted a restoration to take place within him that would bring him into that special place that he knew so well with his Creator. He desired so much for his heart, though flawed at times, to remain connected to God's heart. David was searching for inward renewal that only God could give in the place that turmoil often occurs. In the portion of Psalm 119 we heard today, many attribute this to David. We really don't know, but a lot attribute this psalm to David. And we hear these words: "Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes." There is a cry, "Oh, that my heart would remain connected to your heart, God." And it is the issue of the heart that both Paul and Jesus are referring to in our readings that we heard this morning. Our gospel reading is again a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus gets directly into a few of the issues that we struggle with, and they all originate in the heart. While the Pharisees and the keepers of the law were treating the law as something to be worshipped, they became nothing more than policemen of the covenant law. They even lost what God spoke through Moses. When Moses said, "But if your heart turns away and serves other gods, you'll surely perish." The sacrifices brought to the temple became nothing more than meaningless rituals. Why? Because they lost the meaning. David even recognized that when he wrote, "For you will not delight in the sacrifice I would give it, or I would give it. You'll not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise." In other words, if the sacrifice is legitimate, it has to be rooted in the heart. That's what God asked for. When people brought that sacrifice to the altar to be offered to God, he's asking that their heart be in that sacrifice, not just a ritual to do. So here comes Jesus with these words that pierce the very core of the human heart. And he starts off the issue with, "You have heard," or some translations say, "It was also said." And then he counters each of those with a statement, "But I say to you." Jesus is getting to where it all starts. Before murder becomes murder, it becomes something else. It starts with a raging anger towards someone in your heart. Settle it there. Jesus said, if you hold something against someone, go and make peace first before offering your gift at the altar. I've shared with you before that the real reason we pass the peace in our service is to go make peace with someone that you have something against. Bitterness and hatred can be like a cancer that festers and grows. Don't hold on to anger and bitterness in your heart. Jesus goes on to talk about other issues that can each be a sermon of their own. But briefly, we know what adultery is, but Jesus took it a step further. If you lust after someone, you have committed adultery in your heart. Lust is not saying someone is nice looking. Lust is fantasizing in order to fill an inner appetite. Adultery is a byproduct of lust of the heart. Address it there. He speaks of divorce, where it can be easy to throw away a marriage virtually without cause in that day, and today even. That is to say, "Oh, well, it doesn't work for me, I'll just divorce." Many have lost the meaning of marriage and the commitment that comes from the heart. That's not pleasing to one another, but to God. He's not talking about abuse, infidelity, abandonment, and those things like that. He's talking about the heart issue before it gets to that. Then he speaks of meaningless oaths or swearing, meaning that true character comes from the heart. None of these issues are unforgivable, but Jesus is trying to convey that our heart should be in line with God's heart. It needs to be connected to allow our inner being to grow. And that is what Paul was getting at when he comes to the church of Corinth. As with the gospel reading, Paul's teaching on the continuation of last few weeks. Last week we heard these words at the end of our reading, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, what is the mind of Christ? Some circles treat the mind of Christ much like the Pharisees treated law. We can look at his teachings, and through whatever spiritual means, we can achieve oneness with God. That's so twisted. The mind of Christ can only be achieved through the heart where Christ resides in us when we ask him into our lives. It's getting to where Christ is. It's growing in Christ daily. And it gets us past the petty disagreements that Paul was referring to that was going on in Corinth. He wants them to grow. But look what he says. You are worldly. You are acting like infants. He says, I gave you the basics. That is, he gave them the message of the cross, salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. Paul refers to it as milk. But they needed to grow. But instead, they were letting their worldly hearts control them, not the transformed heart that only comes through Jesus. And again, he reiterates and warns them about the bickering and all of that will follow and who you will follow. If you take a look through church history, you can find some really, really weird stuff. Wars over what a priest should wear, whether a chasuble or no chasuble. Imagine. Splits over what music should or should not be played. Flowers or no flowers. These are all real issues in history. You name it, and parishes have actually had feuds over one or the other. And you see it today as well. A church in that kind of condition has never gotten past milk for nourishment. Meat comes when the church, that is the body of Christ, realizes that God has something so much more for you. He wants to do ministry in you and through you. And it comes from searching your own heart. Where is it today? Is it centered in Christ? A healthy spiritual heart comes through focusing on what God wants to do through us. What was happening in Corinth is that they were beginning to be spiritually disconnected. They hung up the phone. They were losing their sight of the main thing, growing in Christ in order to make a difference in the world around them. It is wonderful to see ministries spring up in the body and people focus on growing in what God is giving them. I see that in many areas of our own parish. I shared with the vestry the other day how I was pleasantly surprised when so many groups wanted to dive into the book of Revelation all at once. That was not planned, folks. Debbie and I also know a young lady who had a vision for reaching out to prostitutes up and down the trail, Tamiami Trail, 14th Street in Bradenton. And what they do now, every Valentine's Day, she and a small team of ladies take roses and bouquets of flowers. Most are donated to the cause. And they go into the brothel houses and ladies on the street and deliver the flowers on Valentine's Day. While there, they share the love of Christ with them, not being judgmental, but with the love of Christ. And as they are led, they direct them to ways to get out of the life that they're living through some ministries that are set up to do that. A few years ago, one of the brothel house owners was so moved by what these ladies were doing, he gave his life to Christ, shut down the brothel house, and turned the property into a resale shop. And that's just one example of some ministries that are going on around us. All the decisions we make that we can define as sin have an origin. It started in the garden, and the origin is the heart. And Jesus and Paul in our readings today are both saying, clean up the heart. Then step out and do something. Get on a steady diet of seeking after Christ through his Spirit. You see, it is not how big you are in order to be effective in a ministry. It is a matter of how open you are to being used. It is a matter of allowing our hearts to be free of the stuff that's trying to take us away from the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it takes us straight into the prayer that David offered to the Lord. Again, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In other words, get rid of the stuff that hinders your walk with Christ. Give it to him. Let him cleanse you of the issues that would hinder your relationship with him. That's why he came to us. Right now, you have a greater opportunity than David ever did, because what David longed for was fulfilled in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We'll never be perfect, but each step of growth that we take is a closer step to perfection. And remember, he's not going to ask you to do anything on your own. He is always there with you if he is leading you into it. Next week, we're going to have a bunch of people strolling through our flower festival. What an opportunity to allow all of us to be a conduit of God's love, sharing the good news of what he is doing. The flower festival is not just something we do. It's something we do to connect with the community. It falls under our ministry headings of evangelism. It has always been God's desire for us to be connected to him and to remain connected and connect to others as well. David reminds us, happy are those who walk with the Lord. Happy are those who seek after him with all of their heart. It doesn't mean we never face issues, but it does mean God loves you so much. He desires his very best for you. May he create a clean heart in us. May he renew our spirit to conform to his. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving spirit. And Father, every person here in this room, myself included, have a heart. We have a heart that yearns for you. Father, I ask, if there's anybody here whose heart is troubled, whose heart is being conflicted in any way, by any sin, by anything that is struggling to grab hold of that person's heart, I ask, Lord God, that you would move by your Spirit into each and every heart. Help us make it clean, Lord God. Help it make it pure, Lord God, that we might move out of this place, set free of the things that try to burden us down. Father, move by your Spirit over this congregation. Move by your Spirit over every Christian in this community. Allow us to move into those areas where you are calling us to make a difference in the world. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.